Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Should Brad hand out game balls each day, like he finishes the programming,
starting with
Steve at 5, yep. And if there's no Twins game, Henry's done at 9, and then all of a sudden we're gathered on a Zoom, you know, and we're all fired up. Although, I don't think we have combined 7 children in this room. None of the three of us has ever looked as proud as Mark and Ziggy Wilf look at KOC after each victory. I didn't see Ziggy last night.
Oh, he was good.
But Mark, honestly, when Hunter was born, I wasn't that pleased. It's just the look on his face.
I love it.
Yeah, was Ziggy the same way?
He had the perma smile on. Yeah. That was going to be my question. If Brad's handing out game balls, who's standing in the corner with just the big smile as he's watching?
Jeff.
Yeah.
Gantz.
I guess Gantz. Yeah. I mean, the Wilfs are very, very proud of KOC. And let's be honest, he can deliver a fabulous post-game victory speech, right?
Right. He does that. All right.
Right. Why don't we see
that's him? The Nick Saban does that, too. That must be a coach thing.
Can we see him ever light them up? Can they put out, you know, hey, we got pounded today?
that's the tape you want to see.
Yes. You know, the Vikings Entertainment Network is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. And a lot of that is driven by, to be honest, Kwesi and KOC saying, here you go.
Yep.
Here's a lot. That and O'Connell, I didn't even watch that game. Whatever game he was mic'd, but then I went back because I just record the Vikings games, and I was doing other things. I never even looked at the TV, just listen. He gets it.
Fantastic.
He's just so good. He's so good because it's natural to him. His media work, and also he's probably in the back of his mind thinking, you never know. I could do some other things.
Mm-hmm.
So, Chad Hartman, Adam Carter, Dave Harrigan, News Talk 830 WCCO. This is a Minnesota show. So I'm going to open up the show on the purple here with this question. Could it have worked out any better? Could it have worked out any better when the kid quarterback, Johnny Mack, as we're calling him on the show, Johnny Mack is facing adversity after adversity, including the worst of all, an obvious pick six to a practice squad player for our club last year. KOC was patting himself on the back a little bit too, you know, when he was quoted, and then he goes, well, he was trained well on zero covers last year.
Yeah.
Now, maybe he's actually tipping the cap there to B-Flow. So, Vikings are in deep trouble, and what happens? The kid quarterback doesn't come up with one touchdown in the fourth quarter, doesn't come up with two touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
Keep going.
He becomes the only quarterback in the history of the National Football League to come up with 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter in his debut.
Yeah.
He also becomes the first guy since Steve Young in his debut to overcome a 10-point deficit, and that's skewed because Young played 2 or 3 years in the USFL, didn't he?
Yeah.
Right? So that's the Minnesota point of view. Could it have worked out any better when you face – you're Sisyphus. You're pushing the rock up. You're pushing. And guess what? If you're all together, if we're all in on it, if it's our culture and collective mindset and our new leader, boom, because I think you can make an argument that was an ideal scenario where they got boat raced on that first drive. Caleb starts out 10 of 10. You're like, do the Bears finally actually have a quarterback? And then you know who Caleb looked like? A lot of other Bears quarterbacks of the game. Now, if you're in Chicago, you're talking about one thing. It's 17-6. It's first and 10 on the Vikings 24. And he throws a pass to Swift, which led him down to the 12. So now it's first and 10 at the 12. You're up 17-6. They score, and the Vikings have done nothing.
Mm-hmm.
She's over.
Yep.
And they call a horrible hold on, what's his name again, Darnell Wright, where Jalen Redmond just loses his balance and falls down. And he does what every other big galoot does.
Lays on top of him, yeah. And I don't even think he fully laid on him.
He kind of did. It was a horrible call,
yeah.
Right? So instead of borderline first and goal, now it's first and 20. Then he throws to the tight end who's open. Terrible pass. Then on second and 20, again, I thought, Bobby Douglas and Bob Avellini, they had moments where they were okay. Other just terrible Bears quarterback. Cutler had some moments. Who's just like a quintessential terrible
Mitch
Bears?
Trubisky?
How about Mitch Trubisky? Where Caleb is going to be sacked. Got another one?
Well, Rex Grossman, but he went
sexy
to a bowl.
Sexy went to a Super Bowl,
yeah.
Right?
Cade McNown.
Yeah. First-round draft choice.
Craig Krenzel. Exactly. Todd Collins.
Todd Collins.
Rusty Lish.
They honestly haven't had a good quarterback or a great quarterback since Sid Luckman.
Yeah.
Unless you count McMahon, and McMahon was the punky QB,
yeah,
and was a phenomenal college guy, but he was pretty good. But like I'm talking great. It's Sid Luckman in the 1940s?
Yeah.
So now Caleb's going to go down. So instead of just taking the sack, what does he do? I mean, as if he's never played the game. He just flings the ball like 3 yards. Aikman, I don't know what Aikman was thinking. Well, that's a good play. He's 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage. So that's intentional grounding. So now it's third and 30. They do a little check down route. And then that kicker, who I feel like he's been there forever and is just terrible. Just with, I thought I was playing golf with you the way that thing peeled to the right.
Say it
really,
to me, Santos.
Santos, man. Santos Carter with the driver with that grip of yours. Vroom. And instead of being 24-6, bear down Chicago Bears,
yeah,
it's give us life. And what does the kick QB say at that point? Would you want to be anywhere else?
Yep.
It's a great line.
It is a great line.
It is a great line because you sit there and you think if you've competed at anything in your life, tiddlywinks,
mm-hmm,
a job promotion, leg wrestling with Adam Carter, and like you're in the middle of something that's fun, like for those guys, it's intense, it's pressure, but they're all brilliant to certain levels what they have accomplished,
right,
to get there. And you're sitting there going, we've done nothing, and we've heard about this guy, and we like him, because it does appear they genuinely like him.
Yep.
And he just says, would you want to be anywhere else?
Yeah.
And I think it's legit.
Right.
Like Jones, those guys said, no. No, because of I don't even know how many athletes I've talked to my entire life. It's almost unanimous if you ask them, would you rather quiet the crowd on the road or win at home in front of a large crowd? And almost everyone says, quiet the crowd.
Yeah.
Because there's this different bonding.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of on your own.
Us against them.
Yeah.
And it's such a motivating factor in sports. It's like, even for teams who are like dynasties.
Yes.
They say they said we can't do this. Like, that's such a motivating factor.
Yeah. Bill Russell might have been capable of saying after they won 8 straight, they don't believe in us.
Yes, right.
Like, I mean, the people
motivated.
Who sound like Trump. Part of the Jesus of Trumpists. They're out to get me again.
Yeah.
Okay, you just made this crypto thing up out of nowhere for $5 billion. You're the president. You might be the president for 10 years. Yeah, you're not getting enough respect. So was it the ideal scenario for the Vikings and J.J. McCarthy? Is a better one just to be a clinic?
Dominance.
Just dominance. The entire way, because I think this is better. I really do have the kid get his teeth kicked in a little bit. And then if you want to buy into, I let's talk about this a little bit more when we come back. The idea that certain people are winners, you know, so much of that is dictated. If it's a team sport, who you have. Like, again, I just alluded to Russell. Russell is a great all-time. If he's not in your top five NBA list, you should never watch the NBA ever again. And he played a brilliant team game. Let's not forget who he had on that team. And the guy he was compared to, Wilt. Now, Wilt had talent, too. But if Wilt was surrounded by the Joneses and Cousy and Don Nelson and it's just Wilt, like, you need the horses. But McCarthy's record is absurdly good in winning games. So if you want to reinforce the idea of somehow, some way, J.J. McCarthy pulls off wins and also, you know, also pulls off one-score wins?
Kevin O'Connell.
27-9 in one-score games. That's a skill.
Yeah.
36 games in, that can't just be an aberration anymore, can it?
No. And, like, that gives a voice to what I was saying last night. I mean, for a guy who hasn't won a playoff game yet.
Who are you saying this to, by the way? Dave, it sounds like he was, were we at your house, or who were you saying to last night?
I said it to the, I tweeted it.
Tweeted, okay.
That there have been more enjoyable victories over the last three seasons than I can remember in a long, long time. Just really quality, good, fun wins.
You're right. I mean, just think of memorable wins under KOC, and we're all creatures of habit, and it's not like Bud didn't have a lot of wins, but just the dramatic one-score games. A lot, right?
Yeah, we just went over the numbers. Yeah. Of course it's been a lot.
And not just, I mean, the drama. I mean, if you just want to sit there, if you just like the sport, if you love it, you're all in. But if you just like the sport and you're an event person and you want to be taken on a circuitous route where you don't know where it's going to end up, but if you're a Vikings fan, there's now about a 75% chance it's going to turn out positively, but you don't know how you're going to get there. It's a great watch.
Yeah.
It is a great watch, and I can only imagine the numbers. We have you seen, has El Duguay tweeted out the numbers yet? Because, again, it's been one of those things where TV's turned on 80-some percent. Like, sometimes people say, why do you talk about the Vikings? You're not a sports station. Well, guess what? My former station doesn't talk sports all the time either. But when 80% of the TVs are on it, and it's the most discussed business in this town, and I can't even tell you if second place is even in the vicinity, why wouldn't we? So we're talking about it right now. Was this the ideal scenario for J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings to make the debut? And if you're a Bears fan, are you still bitter about the drive that just convinced how many Bears fans were the same Bears? The Bears are gonna Bears. So 21 past 12. I'm going to talk about Stretch Lab right here. I don't know. KOC, I'm sure, gave the lads the day off. Maybe some are at the dozen-plus Stretch Lab locations. I know they got a lot of facilities, a lot of setup, a lot of trainers, a lot of fine-tuning that they can participate in at TCO. Guess what? JJ. All your JJs. JG. Head over to StretchLab, StretchLab.com. Whether you're a finely tuned athlete or you're laying on the couch, whether you're a golfer, whether you're a biker, whether you're battling rotator cuff issues, you got the tight calves, StretchLab has trained professionals, months and months of training. They're going to assess you right away. They'll work with you. And the stretching session they give to Adam compared to Dave, compared to me, all different. Try the first 50-minute session. I guarantee you, you're going to feel better. I've been going since 2019. I'm going tonight with Q. StretchLab.com.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Golf-loving Darius Rucker. Come back music today. All right, Adam Carter, was that the ideal scenario last night with the comeback, or would you rather drive after drive after drive where the Vikings were just impressive?
My gut says that, but you make a great argument for the fact that, yeah, down and out looks very troubling, and what a way to recover and give us hope that when the chips are down, mm-hmm. that this kid has the gumption to step up and be a winner. And I think you're right.
I think you might be right.
As painful as it is for
me. Go ahead. Keep saying it again. I just think, Dave, when you hear a lot about a guy, and by all accounts he's likable and teammates are buying him, but you're also saying, hey, we were 14-3 last year. And we said, see you later, to the other guy, Sam Darnold, when we won 14 games. Now, I know they remember the last two, right? And you're saying, well, how is this going to play out? And, how many play calls was the clock down to 3 or 2? What was KOC saying to him? Sounded like one of our weaves. I mean, he was just going off. And then how many times early on?
Audibles.
Yeah, he was audibling a lot. You're exactly right, which I think is good to give him that leeway. I also thought there were about 10 plays where he gets set. He's ready just to plant that foot, and you're like, let it go. And he just wouldn't let it go. And you're thinking, because the Bears, Dave, have their two, including Jalen Johnson, who's just a fantastic player, but their other cornerback out. I had a tough time believing that nobody was open, that he was just gun-shy for a while. And he said after the game, he said, on a play I didn't like, and I was 100% wrong, when the Bears are going for their last field goal of the first half, and again, Aikman and Buck, and I'm sure P.A. and Bursich and Peyton and Eli are all debating. Well, we're debating it too. Do you really want to call a timeout when J.J.'s done zero? Because KOC calls the timeout when it's 4th and 2. And I thought Ben Johnson was going to go for it. With all the momentum and the success and the fact that Carlos Santana's their kicker, you know, I mean, that guy, jeez. I mean, bring back
Kevin Butler.
Kevin Butler's where
single bar, baby.
But Robbie Gould, days with San Francisco, but man, bring back Robbie Gould. And I thought when he called the time, I'm like, KOC, you're giving Ben Johnson time to just go for it. No, Johnson kicks it. And then I'm seeing they're all spread out, and I'm thinking, really? You're going to try? And he throws a 28-yard dart to Naylor. And after the game, McCarthy said that was the throw that kind of got me in the groove.
That's when he became president.
Yeah, that's it. That's when he took over, right? So that one by KOC worked out. Which scenario is better for you think, for McCarthy and the team? The way it played out last night, or just drive after drive where both sides are just looking very, very good?
Well, there's the old adage that you don't learn from success, right? You learn from failure. You learn from struggle. If that's true, if that's not loser talk, then, I mean, what we saw last night could not have been any better, right? To go through a half plus, getting your butt handed to you. You know, I didn't catch up with the broadcast until the second half, and I was taking my dog for a walk late first half, and I was clicking on the ESPN app, seeing where we're going. And what's McCarthy doing here? Click on his stats. 3 of 4 for 12 yards with 4 minutes left. you've only thrown the ball four times?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the ball, his numbers finish. If you didn't see the game and you're like, why are these people talking about McCarthy? He's finished 13 of 20 for 143 yards. Yeah. It's just how it played out.
Yeah, but now you've given your team hope in every scenario, fourth quarter scenario, that you've got a guy that can do it.
And you still have the feeling that we win these games. And this guy fits in with us winning these games. Before we take a break and get to ask, let's not forget, too, that when all the Vikings fans complain about call after call after call, man, they benefited last night. This horrible holding call.
I thought that was legit.
Then Naylor falls down. And they call pass interference when he just falls down. Then the Hockenson punch out. I don't understand how that wasn't a fumble. Because Hockenson's on his knee after catching. And was it, which linebacker was it, comes in and just perfectly punches the ball out. And the ball comes out instantly and they're saying he's down. I'm like, is he down as the ball's just leaving his grip? I just thought the Bears had 12 penalties, so plenty on the Bears. But the borderline calls last night, they went the purple's way.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. And one other thing on KOC, which worked out very well, is when the Bears are debating now, are they going to onside kick it? Are they going to kick it deep? And are they going to kick it out of bounds? The only reason why they kick it out of bounds is you're 204, right? So because they only have one timeout left, you want to use the two-minute stoppage to give you a second timeout. And then again, Carlos Santana cannot. I mean, he's too busy in the guitar, so he cannot kick. I mean, we've watched that guy enough. I mean, I can't imagine. What are Bears fans thinking when the ball's in the air? Of course this is not going through the end zone when Johnson told him. Will that be like, yeah, go ahead and try to win the Masters. Well, I'll try. Guess what? When I post 92, I don't like my chances, you know? And so as Chandler's catching it with the maestro waving him forward and gets the clock down below 2 minutes, pretty good. And then one more thing. If, I mean, number one that changed the game was that screwed up series for the Bears. But they said all offseason, and by picking up Kelly and Fries and then adding Mason, we're going to commit more to the run. I think some of us were like, oh, come on, KOC. You're KOC. You like to chuck that ball. Jordan Mason and that power smash mouth football, that was a huge part of what happened. And that's different from what they've done a lot during these winning days. And even though he was clearly the superior back, Jones still gets the touchdown.
Yeah, right.
So that's a pretty good deal. Okay, let's go. Ask Adam anything. What do you got? You want to ask a Vikings question? You can. The stranger, the odder, the more obscure, the better. Text and phone calls. Let's go. Let's get a bunch of texts, lots of calls. We greatly appreciate when you participate. 651-461-9226.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.